ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we have been studying the third section of the eighth chapter, and so far we have covered three of the mantras. So, in the fourth mantra, it is said, Atha yaha esha samprasadaha asmat shariraat samuthaya param jyotihi upasampadya Svena Rupena Abhinishpadyate. As I mentioned earlier, this few of the sections now are dealing with what happens when a human being enters into the Sushupti or deep sleep state. So what happens? First of all, Samprasada becomes full of joy, full of happiness. Asmat Sharirat Samuthaya, that is, giving up the identity with both the gross and subtle bodies. Param jyotihi upasampadyate. So he becomes one with that supreme light of the lights, who is called Atman, who is called also Paramatman. And once the person becomes completely united with Paramatman or Saguna Brahma or Ishvara, what happens? He is no longer the individual. He remains Svena Rupena in his own real nature. Abhinishpadyate. He manifests, he remains, he shines. That is what happens. And then, what is the nature? The Upanishad is telling, so every jiva, giving up his jivahood, he becomes Paramatma. And once he attains to that, so long as he remains in that state, what happens? Esha Atma iti hovacha. And this is your true nature. Atma means your own self. And what is the difference between Jivatma and Paramatma? Etat Amrutam. You are immortal. So long as you are in that deep sleep state, identifying yourself with Ishvara or Saguna Brahman, you are immortal because the mind is not functioning, which means you are beyond the limitations of time, space and causation, because the mind means limited by time, space and causation. That is its nature. And you also become fearless. Just as a person, when he knows that I am completely fearless, because there is nobody within a billion miles of me can sleep with absolute feeling of security. So this person also becomes fearless. And I explained yesterday, fear comes from two sources. One is, I may lose what I have, I may not get what I expect. These are the only two sources of any fear. And tasya hava etasya brahmanah nama satyam iti. And at that state, this Paramatma, that is this Jivatma, who identified himself, I am not Jivatma, but I am Paramatma. Even he doesn't remember, I was Jivatma. Somehow, I was suffering in the waking and dream states, but now I have somehow reached my own state in this Sushupti. No, the very nature of the Sushupti is, he doesn't remember, once upon a time, he was the Jivatma. He doesn't even remember, I am in this state of Sushupti, deep sleep. What does he feel? He feels, I am immortal, I am fearless, and I am Brahman. And then another name for that, Paramatma, that is this Jivatma who shed his Jivatma identity, who discarded his Jivatma dress. And that is all we have to do. We don't need to put on the dress of Brahman, because Brahman, there is no dress, because there is no dress, there is no address, because there is no name, form or quality. And he remains as he is, so long as he is there. Esha, then for him a new name is given. Etasya brahmanah nama satyamiti is called truth. And now this word satyam is going to be explained with some word play by this Upanishad in the fifth mantra. Tani ha va etani trini aksharani satiyamiti tadyat sat tat amrutam atha yat ti tanmartyam atha yat yam tena ubhe yachati. Yat anena ubhe echati tasmat yam ahar aharva emomvet svargam lokam eti. So a little bit of play on the words. This word called satyam is divided into three syllables. Sat is first, tu that is second, and yam is the third one. So sa, it, and yam. But I said sat. It has to be understood as sa. Sa, sa plus ut, just one t, consonant t, plus yam. And the Upanishad gives, what does these three words signify really? So, sa, ut, and yam, these are the three syllables. And sa stands for that which is immortal, it stands for that which is mortal, and yam stands for that which is the manifester or the cause or the controller of these two. So we will explore this, but it doesn't take long time. Very briefly we can understand this. Sa, the letter, the symbol sa, has been equated with sat. Sat means pure sat, and that is the immortal, because pure existence has no mortality. When existence takes the form of a name and acquires a name because it has a form, and every form is distinguishable from other forms with some qualities. So, form, name and qualities. So, these three, what is called ut. So, the sat is immortal, the ut is mortal. That means nirguna brahma and saguna brahma. Brahman has got two aspects. The nirguna brahma, is not the cause of anything, but saguna brahma, that's why it is called saguna. If you still remember, every day we sing addressing the Holy Mother, guna shreye guna mayi Narayani namostute, Srishti sthiti vinashanam, Shakti bhute sanatani, Gunashraye gunamayi, Narayani Namos, that gunas, each guna. So that sattva guna represented by Brahma stands for creation. The rajo guna, that which maintains sthiti by controlling this world so that nobody can transcend or transgress the laws. And tamoguna represented by destruction or mergers into the cause, represented by Shiva, and sthiti represented by Vishnu, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, Srishti, Sthiti, Laya. So these three words we have to take it for granted. Sat means it is pure existence. Then in course of time, the every Upanishad practically describes how the Srishti has come, including here also we have seen, but only Agtejas, Jalam and Prithvi are given here in this Chandogya Upanishad. Long back we have discussed about it, if you still remember. But the other two, Akasha and Vayu, are also to be included in brackets. So, what does it mean? In the later on, the Upanishad is going to tell, this Brahman becomes a setu, an embankment. And why? Here it is telling, this word Satyam represents both, first of all, Nirguna Brahma, second, that syllable, Thu, Uttu, just pure consonant without any vowel, that represents Saguna Brahma or Srishti, this entire created world, and which is called mortal, because even though it is immortal, but our perception of this is mortal, and that is why it is called mortal. That is why that which is born is sure to go back from where it has come. And then both these aspects, Nirgunam and Sagunam, they are not different. But it is the Brahman that controls both the mortal and immortal. It is the Brahman who grants both the prayas and srayas, worldly happiness as well as spiritual happiness. And that is why the tantras are very great. Says the devotee of Divine Mother, he doesn't lack anything. He enjoys this world and he also attains mukti, because the Divine Mother is the giver of what we call dharma, artha, kama, which represent prayas and moksha. All these are called purusharthas. Four purusharthas of these, moksha, liberation, is called parama purusharthā. All these are there lying at the on the earth. That is why this is a beautiful song in Bengali of Ram Prasad. I mon vedate jabhi, O mind, let's go and take a walk. There is a beautiful tree, and that tree is called Kali, and that tree bears always, there is no season, Paramasi, 12 months, and full. At any season, it doesn't become less, always gives full. What does it give? These four fruits, chari phal, four fruits. And let me sit there and enjoy whichever fruit I want. That is why we have to understand, a Jivanmukta can enjoy even this world much better than a worldly person, because he is not fearful, I am going to lose anything, and he is not fearful, I am going to become old. And those ideas also we are going to see, we have already seen, but we are going to see. So this is the meaning of the word Satyam. Another name for Brahman is Satyam. This word Satyam has got three syllables, that is Sa, Ut, and Yam. And Sa stands for absolute, supreme reality, and Ut stands for the Saguna Brahma, or this entire created universe, which is called mortal, and both of them are controlled by the Nirguna Brahma called Brahman. And anybody who sticks to truth, who understands this truth, then that person will enjoy everything at the same time. Is whether he is alive, that means whether his body is alive or whether his body goes, he knows I am Brahman. These are called Jivan Muktas. Tena Ubhe Yachati. That Supreme Brahman controls both of them. And then what does it do? Controlling means what? Not like a dictator controlling, but like a mother who controls everything, because she knows whatever my child needs, how, what he needs, how much he needs, at what time he needs, and which form he needs, everything she knows, and she gives at the correct time. So, tena ubhena yat anena ubhe yachati. And that is what is called yam, the last syllable. Sa, ut, and yam. That yam is the representation of the controller of this entire universe. And then evam vit, one who understands this meaning of the word satyam, which is nothing but the meaning of the word Brahman, which is nothing but the meaning of the word realization. Aharaharva. So day after day, not only at night, but at every given. Swargam lokameti. Here swarga lokam means what? Becoming one with Brahman, not Indra loka. So this is the meaning it wants to tell. Why does it want to tell us? So it is telling us that you will have to contemplate Brahman as satyam. And then very soon we come. That is what we have seen in the Taittiriya Upanishad also. The very first instruction. Satyam vada dharmam chara. So this upasaka of this Parabrahman in the form of satyam regularly merges into Parabrahman every day, every night. And then he enjoys it. But what happens to him after death? So he attains Kramamukti. Some people interpret it as Kramamukti, but according to Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, the Divine Mother can give Mukti, Sadhyo Mukti. That's why Sri Ramakrishna says liberation can be divided into, Moksha can be divided into several categories. As one is Sadhyo Mukti, Akasmat Mukti. Suddenly, a flood of knowledge opens, I am Brahman. Or it may be Swapna Siddha. In dream, some great soul comes and initiates us. Immediately we become awake. As soon as we come out of that dream state, we know we are Brahman. Or Kripa Siddha. Some people, say Ramakrishna wanted to bless people. A very interesting point we have to note down here. We all know, on 1st January 1886, Sri Ramakrishna became a Kalpataru, and that is celebrated on the 1st of January every single year all over the world by the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna and in every branch of this Ramakrishna Ashrama. Now, Sri Ramakrishna is the Parabrahma for a devotee or for the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda, etc. Now, the interesting point here is, Sri Ramakrishna, he entered into Samadhi on that day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he blessed everybody by touching, by mere look, by mere wish. So, people had different experiences. Did they get Mukti? Most of them did not. Sri Ramakrishna said, may your consciousness be awakened, Chaitanya Hok. But what we need to understand by this is, was Sri Ramakrishna withholding Mukti from them? Or was he giving Dharma, Artha, Kama only? No. Like all embracing Divine Mother, every mother wants to give everything she possesses at once to each one of her children. But then the mother knows, I am ready to give, but are my children ready to receive? This is what we have to remember here. Every devotee received only what he could according to his receiving capacity.
The giving capacity is infinite, but the receiving capacity is only but very small. But to some people, Sri Ramakrishna, like this Saguna Upasaka, Rishik was a Saguna Brahma Upasaka, Pratap Chandra Hajra, he was a Rasika Brahma Upasaka, Kali Padagosh, he was a Rasika Brahma or Saguna Brahma Upasaka. All of them, they wanted Sri Ramakrishna to come at the end of their lives because they may not remember even who they are. But he promised and he fulfilled that promise. So there are some people who are not ready for Sadyo Mukti, instantaneous liberation. For them, they will have this beautiful knowledge. They will enjoy day and night, but after death, they can attain Karma Mukti. But if somebody is really very keen upon it, and how can he be keen about it? That is going to be described in the very next this section, thinking of what is called, describing what is called Brahmacharya, about the glory of Brahmacharya, and how many manifestations of Brahmacharya are there, which we will see very shortly. So this Upasaka, that means a Upasaka is segregated from a non-Upasaka. Why? Because everybody merges into that Parabrahman. That is what the Upanishad is trying to convey to us. But every person, upon waking up, doesn't realize that he is becoming one with Brahman. Who realizes? Only an earnest sadhaka. And what does this sadhaka do? He will be studying the Upanishads regularly. Perhaps he is studying this Chandogya Upanishad, 8th chapter, and I did not know everybody, every day, every night, I am entering into oneness with Paramatma. I said, Ahara Harva means day or night. How can daytime we can have this experience of Sushupti? Some of you may be doubting about it. The answer is very clear. Even while listening to my talk, some of you may be having that Sushupti experience. I have absolutely no doubt about it for a short time or for a longer time, whatever it is. And then you have entered into that oneness with Brahman, of course, without realizing. So daytime, how many times we enter into that Brahman? According to the scriptures, in between every thought, we become one with Brahman. But apart from that, whenever we become a little bit unmindful or enter into that state called Tandra, Nidra, or dozing state, then we are entering into that state of Brahman only. Not only that, if you think a little bit deeper, you can also get this answer. Whenever you are enjoying, we are enjoying something, there is a split millisecond when we become one with the object, their subject-object distinction is completely lost. And that is the moment when we become at one with Brahman. So not only night, but all the time. So a knower who has this knowledge because of the teachings of the Guru or teachings of this Upanishads through the Guru, medium of the Guru, to understand the Upanishads properly, one must listen to the exposition of a person who knows what he is talking about. Therefore, aharaharvai, every day, every night, swargam lokameti means he becomes one with that paranjyoti, that supreme light of the lights, which is called Parabrahman. And then, so long as he is there, that is called Anandamaya Kosha. So this Paramatma grants to this Upasaka, contemplator. What does he give? That so long as the Upasaka is alive, he will give both intellectual knowledge with right understanding and also enjoyment of this world. But if he dies and still certain remnants of desires are there, then he will go to Brahmaloka. There he will fulfill his small desires. There he will very soon realize that all these are just bubbles. It is not even real water. And then his mind, unobstructed, thinks only about Brahman and inspired by the presence of Brahma, who is also supposed to take classes or give upadesham, because remember, Brahma is none other than the distilled Vedas. Murtibha, that is the very, what is called, the very images of Vedas. If Vedas are given a human form, that's what we call Brahma, with four faces. That is why we give. So this Upasaka, during the living time, enjoys this world, and he goes into Brahmaloka after death, and from there he becomes more enlightened and finally merges in Brahman. But then, if he is what we call a more serious student, no, I want that ultimate knowledge of Brahman in this very life, then he, along with this contemplation, he has to develop certain qualities which will make him fit to receive that Shravana of Mahalakya, that is, the what, that Tattvamasi, etc., and then contemplating upon it, and he transforms his life, and one day he will become what we call Jivan Mukta or Videha Mukta, whatever it is. So, the Upanishad continues, Ata ye atma sa setuhu vidhruti esham lokanam a sambhedaya aitam setum ahoratre tharato na jara na mrutyuhu na shoko na sukrutam na dushkrutam sarve papmano atah nivartante apahata papma hi esha brahmalokaha. A beautiful description of this Brahmaloka. Earlier, we saw the word Svargaloka, and that is called Brahmaloka. And that Brahmaloka should not be identified with what we call the highest of the 14 worlds, Brahmaloka, but here we have to, that is, the Loka experience, where the contemplator is thinking only about Brahman. So, Atha Ya Atma Sa Setuhu. So, this Atman becomes the embankment and Vidhrutihi, and it holds on, he is sustainer, the maintainer of what? Esham Lokanam. He holds up. If Brahman doesn't hold up these worlds, then they cannot remain. And then he says, A Sambhedaya. Sambheda means to separate. Sambheda means separate very well, but he holds it so that both will not separate from each other. Both means the mortal and the immortal, the nirguna and the saguna, the what is called nirguna Brahma and saguna Brahma, that is called setu, as an embankment. Who holds a river, which holds a river without flooding and destroying crops, lives, etc. So, Setu, he becomes a beautiful embankment, Setu. Ahoratre tarataha. And then, day and night, he is holding up. That means, for eternity, he is holding up. Then, what is the nature of this Brahman or this Setu? Na jara, na mrutyuhu, na shokaha. When once a person realizes his identity with that Brahman, jara, old age, mrityu, death, shoka, any affliction, any suffering, any unhappiness, but not only that, na sukrutam, if somebody had done lot of punya, he will not remember in that state of, this is all description of that Brahman with whom we become one, in which state? In the Sushupti state. That's why we don't remember. We are sinners or saints. Na sukrutam, na dushkrutam. Neither our merits nor our vices. Nothing is remembered there. Therefore, sarve papmano Atah nivartante. And therefore, all the sins, sin means, we have to understand, causes of suffering, atah nivartante. They will not touch anybody so long as we are one with that Brahman Paranjyoti, which is called Brahmaloka, Swargaloka. And that is why that Brahmaloka has acquired a new title. It is called Apahata Papma. That is untouched by Papma. Papma means sin. Now this Atman is the dike, the embankment for the safety of these worlds. Neither the day nor the night crosses this dike. Nor old age, nor death, nor sorrow, nor merit, nor demerit. All evils turn back from it, for this Brahman world is free from evil. This self is not circumscribed by time, which determines all that is born, nor is it affected by merit and demerit, for all these are only temporary products. So, what is this Upanishad talking about? About whom, first of all? Earlier it said, after giving a description, now you contemplate in that Dharakasha. If you still remember the first section itself, he who believes in the Vedas and believes in the words of this Upanishad, and he knows my body is an instrument, and within that instrument, within this instrument, which is called Brahmapuri, the city of Brahman, there is a Hridaya Akasha, that is like a lotus. Within that lotus, there is an Akasha called Chit Akasha, pure consciousness. And that Akasha is none other than this Brahman about which we are talking. He is also called Paramatmana. And one who contemplates it, then he becomes one with that Paramatma. And that Paramatma is described as a Setu. So, Setu means embankment, a bund. And then what it does, it protects the field from any damage that comes. So, God is like that bund controlling this universe. How does he control? Because, you see, if you are playing a game, there are some laws of game. L-A-W-S, not L-O-S-S. So, life is also a game, really speaking. And it has its own rules. There are health games, health laws. There are also mental health laws. There are also moral laws. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So, there are also spiritual laws, without which we cannot progress. Means, we cannot effort to break them. Because if we break them, inevitable consequence in the form of suffering will come. But who is maintaining, like police, like security guards, that if anybody transgresses these laws, then they will be punished. If anybody obeys them, they will be rewarded. It is that Paramatma alone. So, this whole universe and everything in this universe, each individual object or living creature functions governed by hundreds and hundreds of laws. So, we get a beautiful idea is what is this Paramatma, not only as a lawgiver, but as a law maintainer. That is what is called Vishnu. And in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we get it in the third chapter, eighth section. Etasya vai aksharasya prashasane gargi surya chandramasau vidrutau tishtataha etasya va aksharasya prashasane gargi dhyava prithivyau vidrute tishtataha etasya va aksharasya prashasane gargi nimeshaha muhurtaha ahoratra arthamasaha ritavaha samvatsaraha iti vidrutaha tishtanti. Agnivalka teaches Gargi, if the rivers are flowing perfectly, if the seasons are manifesting perfectly, all because of the inviolable moving perfectly, all are because of maintaining this inviolable laws. Not only the physical laws, loss of health, loss of moral or what is called ethical values and spiritual values. That is why God is called Dharmo Rakshati Rakshitaha. He is called the what is called Dharma Setu, is the maintainer of Dharma, is the foundation of Dharma. In Mundaka Upanishad also, we get this, Ishvara is called a Setu. So, what does he do? He protects everything. That is the meaning of Vidruti. And then, what happens? Because he is protecting Asambhedaya. Veda means disharmony. Veda means chaos, confusion, disharmony. Sambheda means great chaos, great confusion, great disharmony. But you add one A, which gives the negative meaning. Shoka, add A at the beginning, Ashoka. Shuchi, add one A, Ashuchi. So, Bhedaya, Asambhedaya, or Sambhedaya, or Asambhedaya, means perfect harmony, perfect rhythm. That's why he is called Rhythm, perfect balance, perfect law. And this is the glory of Paramatma, because he is the organizer, he is beyond time, and day and night, he is not sleeping. So the sun shines because of him, the wind blows because of him, the fire burns because of him, the lightning lights up because of him. Everything runs smoothly, without deviating, all because of him. Because he is Vishnu, because he is watching everything, he is controlling everything. But he himself is beyond all time. Because he is beyond time, then there is no jara, old age, mrityu, death, shokaha, that is suffering, sukrutam, or there is nothing called punyam or papam. That means he goes beyond the body-mind concept. He knows, I am pure Atman. I am really Paramatman. And therefore, no papa or evil or sin. Evil means what? Suffering. Papa means what? Suffering. Same meaning. So there are three types of karmas, as we all know. That is Sanchita Karma, accumulated results of karma, Agami, which has not yet fructified, but is going to be fructifying in the future, and which has started fructifying called Prarabdha. But a Upasaka, being identified with Brahman, he gets out of this vicious bondage of karma phala. That is called Mukti. And therefore, the Paramatma is given a title, Apahata Patma Esha Brahmalokaha. So, this is the fifth chapter, that is, we have started here. This is the first mantra in the fifth chapter. And the second mantra, Tasmadva Etam Setum Tirtva Andhasan Anandha Bhavati Vidhasan Avidha Bhavati Upatapi San Anupatapi Bhavati Tasmadva etam setum tirtva naktam harevabhi nishpadyate sakrod vibhatohi eva esha brahmalokaha. Again, this is a very simple mantra. So, again, describing the glory of that Paramatma, what happens when a contemplator of this Brahman gives up the attachment to both the cross body, subtle body, and enters into this deep sleep state called Sushupti and becomes one with Paramatma. Earlier, certain descriptions are given, their old age or death or suffering or any type of evil cannot touch, and even time will not be able to touch, and therefore he becomes great. Further description is given in this second mantra. Therefore, oh sadhakas, you must try to reach this setu, become one with that setu, through sharanagati, complete self-surrender. Then that means you become one with that setu or embankment. Remember, do not forget, Setu means that Brahman, who is manifesting in the form of both the mortal and immortal. Etam Setum Tirtva, that means he becomes one with this Brahman. What happens at that state? Andhaha san a nandaha andhaha bhavati na andhaha bhavati. If he was blind in the both gross state and subtle state, because even we can dream, we have lost our eyesight in dreams also. But once we reach here, there is no body consciousness. So either the capacity to see and the capacity not to see, capacity to be born, capacity to die, capacity to change, capacity to become old or suffer diseases, all these remember was possible only in the waking and dream states with the help of the gross and subtle bodies. But not, nobody says, I am born, I am old, I am suffering, I am blind, I am deaf, etc. That is being described here. So a blind man in the waking and dream states doesn't become a blind man. That means he will be a perfect sighted person. Vidhaha san avidho bhavati. If he is struck by any evil, but in that he can be struck only in the waking and dream states, but not in this state of one mind with Ishvara or Saguna Brahma, avidhaha bhavati. He remains completely free from being afflicted. Upatapi san. Upatapa means mental affliction. So vidhaha means physical affliction. Upatapa means mental affliction. So if somebody is suffering from mental problems, even, you know, we know billions and billions of people, and we are also not free from mental problems really. So, but when we enter any, even the greatest crazy fellow, even Hitler, even Saddam Hussein, even the most ferocious tiger or tigress, lioness, if the moment they enter into that state of pure one-ment, remember, everybody becomes one with Brahman, then there is no mind. Where there is no body, bodily afflictions will not trouble. Where there is no mind, afflictions that belong purely to the mind, all these depression, excitement, etc., uddharsha, anuddharsha, nothing will trouble that person. Tasmadva etam setum tirtva naktam ahareva avinishpadyate. For a person who has crossed this setu, remember, cross means not you cross a mountain or a river, no. Here it means becoming completely one with that Brahman. And then here, another name for that Brahman is called Setu, embankment. Naktam, that is what is called Naktam, that is night. It becomes crystal clear like daylight, because there is no ignorance there. There is no darkness there. There is not even the light that we know here. So nishpadyate, it is bright light only. So sakrud vibhato hi eva esha brahmalokaha. This brahmaloka is ever filled with jyotira jyoti, the greatest jyoti, light. Therefore, verily, on reaching this dike or setu, if one was blind, he ceases to be blind. If one was wounded, he ceases to be wounded. If one was afflicted, he ceases to be afflicted. Therefore, verily, on reaching this dike, even night becomes day. For this Brahman world is never in ignorance. It is ever illumined. Remember, we have studied the Bhagavad Gita, especially the end of the second chapter, Sthita Pranilakshana. Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sanyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sanisha Parshatumani. For an awakened person, what is darkness? Night means darkness. To ignorant people becomes crystal clear for the enlightened people. That is why they are called enlightened people. So this Paramatma is free from all those night and day, old age, death, merit, demerit, everything. His continuous experience in that state is Aham Brahmasmi. And these are the results that are given there. Person becomes absolutely one with Sat Chit Ananda. Only one note I want to put it. Very often we use this word light, Jyoti. We have to distinguish two lights. One is called the ordinary light we know, sunlight. Sunlight works only what we call, from our viewpoint, only in the daytime. If the sun is covered by clouds, light will not be there. If I become blind, it will not be there. So at night, the sun, of course, from the viewpoint of the sun, there is no night and or day. You have to remember that. From our viewpoint, so what is midnight at one place becomes early morning at another place, becomes evening at another place, becomes midday at another place, becomes morning, mid-morning in another place, depending on the geological location. But the point here is that I cannot see, we cannot see, you cannot see without light. So it could be sunlight, it could be torch light, it could be lamp light, it doesn't matter. Light is necessary. Then if there is no light, there will be darkness. But then you know what? This light we are talking about, this relative light, it cannot illumine the darkness. But there is another light which is called the light of Brahman, Brahma Jyoti, Jyotira Jyoti. There it illumines both light and darkness also. So this light, if it is not there, it doesn't know there is darkness. But that light, we every day experience it. When it is dark, what do we say? Oh, I am not able to see. It is dark. Who is telling it? That Jyotira Jyoti is telling, because it is a witness both for light as well as darkness. A relative light is in opposite to the darkness. So darkness cannot bear witness to light. Light cannot bear witness to darkness. This is a distinction we will have to understand. That means it is called pure consciousness. And Sakrut Vibhataha means what? It is ever shining. This is the beautiful mantra in the 5th chapter. So we are going to talk about it in future. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhurmuhu. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.